Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As Pastor Curtis mentioned a few moments ago, focus of the message today is on 2 Peter chapter 1. Just looking at verse 16 to start here. To be sure, we were not following cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the powerful appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. I guess we're not going to have that today, huh? There you go. Get that off of there. No? All worked beautifully at about 7:30 this morning. While that is going through its cycle, let me ask here this morning, who is it that is sitting in your spot in the pew this morning? And I don't mean that somebody is sitting in your usual spot in place of you. I'm talking about you. Who are you this morning? Which persona do we get to behold today? Is it the real you that sits there today, or is this sort of mask that you put on for everybody else while the real you kind of hides behind it as you're sitting there? Or maybe, what do we get to see? I mean, as we look at you, we kind of filter, you know, through our own biases or our own perspective or that kind of thing. Just before Jesus was transfigured in glory, Jesus was talking to his disciples and he asked, who do people say I am? In other words, how do they see me? And of course, they replied with some say John the Baptist, or some say Elijah, or one of the prophets, and of course, they were all wrong. Oh, we're back at it. All right, thanks. But there were a lot of other viewpoints, weren't there? Some people thought that he was God, and some people thought that he was man, and some people thought there was this sort of variation in between. Some people said that he was just a spirit and appeared as a man. But really, the Son of God? I don't know. You know, in the days that followed, there were all kinds of ideas, too, about who Jesus was and what he came to be. Even 2,000 years later, we're still going through the same thing, aren't we? People kind of put Jesus up there with the likes of, Gandhi and Muhammad and Mother Teresa. You know, that he was this great guy, that he did some good things. Good preacher, a lot of good things to say, but come on. The Son of God? I don't know. As we look at this text for today, we certainly, from one perspective, understand where people are coming from. In a way, Jesus is kind of responsible for all the confusion. And that may be slightly shocking. Keep in mind that Jesus did fully reveal himself to people. I mean, can you imagine what would happen if Jesus would have fully revealed himself in his full glory to sinners? I mean, people would have been dead. So he couldn't just put himself out there in glory. No, instead he took on humanity and he hid his glory. But he made sure that everybody could clearly identify him for who he was through centuries of prophecy. And then he came along and fulfilled it all. People then now should know who Jesus really is. There really should be no problem, but there is. Because we understand that we're sinners, and our perspective gets all messed up, right? Even we who are believers, if it weren't for the gift and the work of the Holy Spirit in us, there is no way that we could recognize Jesus for who he is. It's kind of like the man who went to his doctor and said, "Doc, I'm really worried. Every time I drink a cup of coffee, I feel a stabbing pain in my eye. Do you think it's serious?" And the doctor said, "No. Try taking the spoon out of your cup." Now that may seem kind of ridiculous and pretty obvious, but what God gives us in his word, it is there, it is completely reliable, as Peter says. We should, and the world should be able to recognize Jesus for who he is, but we come from that sinful, twisted perspective, and we can't see things the way God would have us see them. We can't see Jesus for who he really is without God, the Holy Spirit going to work in us. In today's gospel, Peter, James, and John were given a vision, a whole new way to see Jesus, a whole new perspective. It really changed everything. It gave them not an immediate understanding, because after all, Peter only got part of the point right that day, but is in time, through the work of the Spirit, give them an eternal understanding as Jesus revealed glory on that mountaintop, identify him as the Son of God and the Son of Man, the promised Messiah. In fact, Peter would go on to write, "To be sure, we were not following cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the powerful appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from within the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We heard this voice, which came out of heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." But after that glorious day, as you well know, it was not all glory, glory, hallelujah from then out. In fact, Jesus would descend that mount of glory and turn his face toward Jerusalem to fulfill his mission, to ascend another mount, Mount Calvary. And it was there that he would suffer and die for the lives of the skeptics and the doubters and the weak and the struggling. Yeah, for the likes of you and me. Those disciples, they would go on to find themselves hiding for their lives, persecuted for their testimony. Most of them ultimately martyred for their faith. And as you and I well know, it's not easy for us either. We struggle. We doubt. We battle temptation. We even get in that sort of funk where we think that maybe this word really isn't for us. It doesn't really matter the glory that was on that mountain. I'm just trying to get through today. I don't need to think about mountaintop experiences and eternity. I just want to get through today. But through it all, through Jesus' suffering and death, through the disciples' sacrificial witnessing, even through our own strugglings and weakness, that majestic glory shines. That majestic moment shines through the cross, through Jesus, to you and me, to assure us of forgiveness, to strengthen us in our weakness, to embolden us in our witness, to see through the pain to the beauty of Jesus in his fullness. Among the painters of the French Impressionist school were Henri Matisse and Auguste Renoir. You might be familiar with some of their works. And they were, among those Impressionists, they were the closest of friends. When Renoir's health failed and doctors forced him in confinement for the last 10 years of his life, Matisse would visit him daily. Renoir, almost paralyzed with arthritis, though continued to paint, to stand at his easel day after day and paint and brush through incredible pain. One afternoon, as Matisse watched his friend painting, fighting that pain with each movement and stroke of brush, he finally blurted out, "Auguste, why do you continue to paint when you're in such agony?" Renoir never even looked away from his easel. He just kept painting. And finally, in a very quiet voice as he painted, he spoke, "The beauty remains, the pain passes. The beauty of this moment on the mount remains. As the pain of our earthly life passes, we have the completely reliable and prophetic word as a lamp that shines in the darkness of our lives. The day has dawned and the morning star has risen in our hearts, and it is that glorious light of the gospel that lights our way until we can see the Lord's glory for ourselves. It is God's word that provides all the light that we need until the day when we join Jesus in heaven, where he himself will be our light and our life." That's why Peter is so insistent that we pay close attention to the light of the word, not as cunningly devised fables or as something from someone's imagination or from the will of men, but as it truly is from God. Completely reliable, inspired by the Spirit, the Lord reveals his glory to you to again assure you of your forgiveness, to be able to give you that touchstone, that moment to continue to go back to again and again while you're struggling with life. On those dark and cold days, to be able to go to the warmth of God's light and the resurrection. On the days when you just sort of feel overwhelmed by it all, by life, by family, by situation, to be able to lift your eyes up to that holy mountaintop and remember the glory of the Lord, his power at work in us and through us. That majestic glory has revealed to you not only who Jesus truly is, our Lord and Savior, but get this, it reveals who you are too, who you really are. Not someone overwhelmed with guilt, not someone struggling day after day, not someone who is a victim, but as you really are sitting there in the pew today, a new creation with a brand new day of grace ahead of you and eternal glory awaiting you. This is just a glory that shines in us and it shines through us to be able to share that same majestic glory to those around, to the doubting and the questioning and even the challenging, to share that glory so that they too can see their beautiful Savior. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Amen.